Well, thank you. So I want to talk to you this morning about prayer. We had a wonderful prayer service this morning in Sunday school. A number of us met there, and we petitioned the Lord for our blessings in 2017 for our families, for our church, and for our community. And I want to thank you for all of you who participated in that. It was a special time for me. My heart was really blessed. But I'm convinced, as well as our pastor is convinced, and many of you will agree with this statement, that nothing meaningful or long-lasting is really going to occur in the realm of your family's life, in the realm of this church life, your business life, wherever you may be. Nothing long and lasting and meaningful is going to span the test of time apart from prayer. Prayer is the very essence of what greases the wheels, so to speak. And prayer is something that many of us engage in some type of a perfunctory prayer. There's a word for you, perfunctory. What that means is just kind of a habitual prayer, a prayer that you may pray over and over, just kind of the same old thing all the time. Lord, bless this food. Lord, my name is Jimmy. I eat all you give me. Thank you. Right? Those kind of prayers, right? And so they're just habitual prayers. And what ends up happening is those prayers just kind of become monotonous over time because our hearts aren't in it. We may be saying the words, but our heart's not there. But I want to speak to you today about powerful prayer, about persevering prayer, and about prevailing prayer. That's what I want to talk about today. And I want you to believe that God hears and answers prayer. And I hope to prove that to you today. You know, to seek help from God in a time of distress, it's an instinct of human nature. I don't mean that unregenerate human nature ever offers truly spiritual prayer or ever exercises saving faith in the living God. But still, like a child crying in the dark with painful longing for help, the soul in deep sorrow almost always cries to God for help. Amen? None have been more ready to pray in time of trouble than those who have ridiculed prayer in their prosperity. In fact, probably no prayers have been truer to the feelings of the hour than those that atheists have offered when in fear of death. I believe in the truthfulness of this instinct, that instinct to pray. And I believe that man prays because there is something in prayer. You know, when our Creator gives His creature the power of thirst, it's because water exists to take care of that thirst. When our Creator gives us hunger, it's because there's food to meet the hunger. Even so, when He inclines men to pray, it's because prayer has a corresponding blessing connected to it. We have a powerful reason to expect prayer to be effective, because prayer is an institution of God. In God's Word, we are over and over and over commanded to pray. But you know, God's institutions are not folly. You know, if that were true, can we really believe that an infinitely wise God would ordain for us an exercise that is pointless? I'll ask that again. Concerning prayer, can we really believe that an infinitely wise God would ordain for us an exercise that is pointless? Does God tell us to pray and yet it has no more effect than a whistling in the wind? I know some of you feel that way sometimes, like it's just hitting the ceiling and bouncing off, not getting through. If there's no answer to the prayer, then prayer would be absurd. And since God commanded that we pray, it necessarily means that prayer is good since God is the author of it. Amen? Well, Jesus knew quite well that many difficulties would arise in connection with prayer that might tend to cause His disciples to doubt. Therefore, Jesus Himself has balanced every opposition to prayer with an overwhelming assurance. And I want you to repeat these words to us that are found with me, that are found in Luke. We're going to be in Luke today, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Luke 11, 9 and 10. And if you don't have a Bible with you, you can look on the screen. But I want you to repeat these words with me, and I'll say them slowly and kind of in cadence. We may even come back and do them again, because I really want you to get these words in your heart and in your spirit. You ready? I tell you, out loud, I tell you, and it will be given to you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Let's do that again. I didn't hear y'all very well, and I messed it up. What can I tell you? I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Now, I want you to think about this. I tell you. Who's the I? The I is your teacher. The I is your master. The I is your Lord. The I is your Savior. The I is your God. And he says, I tell you, ask, and ye shall receive. That's not me telling you. It's not just some health and wealth deal or just some let's feel good deal. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the creator of heaven and earth and everything that is and ever will be, says, I tell you, ask, and you shall receive. That's what he says. That's a powerful prayer. And it's coupled with, if you were to back up, and we're not going to go back up and look at it, but this whole verse, this whole chapter 11 begins with the disciples asking Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus does what we now know as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's how Jesus begins to teach his disciples to pray. And that's great. And then he moves down a little bit further, and he tells them a story about having a friend who's coming to your house at midnight, and he's wanting whatever he wants, and he's persistent to the point that he finally just wears you out, and you get up and give him what he's asking for. So Jesus goes from the Lord's Prayer right into that story, and then it leads right into our particular verses today about, I tell you, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Jesus is teaching them. He's taking them through some steps about how to pray, but how to pray in faith, believing, is really what he's doing. And it's a powerful prayer, and it comes from his authority. The first mark of a believer is that he believes his Lord. Amen? The first mark of a believer is that you believe Jesus. We do not follow the Lord at all if we raise questions on points about which he speaks explicitly. Even if a doctrine is surrounded with 10,000 difficulties, the fact that Jesus said it sweeps them all away, so far as true Christians are concerned. Amen? Our master's declaration is all the argument we need. I tell you is our logic. And the reason we see you at your best in Jesus, for he has been made to us wisdom by God, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus cannot err, he cannot lie, and when he says, I tell you, there's an end to all debate. There's an end to it. There are several reasons that we can be confident in Jesus' words. There's power in every word of Jesus. By the word of God himself, the heavens and the earth were created. In the very beginning of the Bible, God said, he spoke it into existence. There was light. There was the moon and the stars and the heavens and the earth. There's power in every word of Jesus. And remember this prayer that we're looking at. Who's telling us this? I tell you. It's the great I am that's telling you. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the one who's telling us this. And he's also very competent to speak on this matter. He's competent. Why? Because he knows about prayer. He knows about being a human because he became one. It's called the Advent. We just celebrated it for Christmas. Jesus is very competent, and he knows about praying, and he knows that his Father hears. Not only his prayers, but ours as well. Another reason to be confident in Christ's words is because he is the sustainer of all things. He didn't just create everything that is. He sustains them by the power of his word. And when that one says, I tell you, ask, and you shall receive, he means it. Right? He wasn't just talking. It wasn't just frivolous talk, something that he wanted to say, he meant it. Now, some of you may be having some objections to this because you may be thinking, well, it sounds like we can just ask for anything and get whatever we want. There are some objections. I want to handle a couple of objections to what we've been talking about so far. One of the objections is this: prayer can produce no results because the decrees of God have settled everything, and those decrees are immutable. In other words, because of predestination and foreknowledge, everything's already decided in advance anyway, so why pray? What's the point? But certainly it is my belief that God has foreknown and predestined everything that happens in heaven above or on the earth below. From the smallest blade of grass to who will be president is fixed in time and eternity. Predestination embraces the great and the little. It reaches to all things. Well, the question then is, why pray? Why pray? Why pray at all if everything is already set in place? Well, why not ask as well, why eat or breathe or move or do anything at all? There is an answer to this question that I believe will satisfy. Our prayers are in the predestination, and God has as much ordained his people's prayers as anything else. So when we pray, we are producing links in the chain of ordained facts. I want you to hear that. Let's hear that again. When you pray, you are producing links in the chain of ordained facts. That's why you pray. God decrees that we should pray, we pray. God decrees that I will be answered, the answer comes. Yet we have an even better answer than this. Jesus comes forward to us, and it's like he says, the decrees of God need not trouble us because there's nothing in them inconsistent with your prayers being heard. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. Now, who is the one who says this? It is he who has been with the Father from the very beginning. The same was in the beginning with God, John 1, 2. Jesus himself knows all the purposes and plans of his Father, and he's telling us with the absolute certainty of an eyewitness that there is nothing in the eternal purposes that are in conflict with this truth, that he who receives and he who seeks finds. He who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. Jesus has read these decrees from the beginning to the end and has declared the ordinances of heaven. He tells us that there is nothing inconsistent with our bended knee and tear-stained eyes with the Father's opening the windows of heaven to shower you with the blessings that you seek. There's nothing inconsistent with that. The pain that you feel, the need that you have, there's nothing inconsistent with the bended knee and the tear-stained eye. God wants to bless you. He has said so. That's what he's saying right here. In addition to this, the one who promises to answer prayers is God himself. And God does not lie. I'm going to say that again. The one who promises to answer your prayer is God himself. And God does not lie. And I tell you. We who believe in him should have our doubts scattered to the wind. because you know that he hears our prayers. Another objection. God's greatness and my sinfulness. Sometimes I just don't feel worthy. God's not going to hear my prayer. What would God want to hear from me for anyway? Who is God that he is mindful of man? Particularly in our condition. Look, if the shame of our sin haunts us and our own sorrow depresses us, I would remind you that Jesus Christ, when he says, I tell you, he gives us the authority not only of his person, but of his experience. Because he knows the sin with which we wrestle. Everybody wrestles with sin, and he knows this. Jesus prayed like no one else, yet he was made like us as a man. He tells us to pray, and it will be given to us. For I have prayed, and it has already been given to me, is what Jesus said to his disciples. I've already prayed, it's been given to me. I tell you, pray. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Powerful prayer. Our prayers are powerful because God has ordained them from eternity past all the way through eternity future. God has ordained that we should come before him and pray. And he chooses to answer. He wants to. He wants to. Then I want to move next to persevering prayer. And persevering prayer in our lives doesn't come about so much by our great goodness and our strength to just grit it and get it done, just to persevere, grit our teeth. No, it really comes because of his promise. That's what creates the persevering prayers, his promise. You know, our prayers grow from asking, which is the statement, to seeking, which is the pleading, and then to knocking, which is the urgent requesting. To each of these stages of prayer, there's a distinct promise. He who asks will have. What more did he ask for? In other words, that one, that when he says that these three things, ask, seek, and knock, they're not things that are combined together. They're separate. If you ask, you'll receive. What more should you expect? If you're hungry, God provides you with food. He does. That's what he does. That's a good thing. But he who seeks will go further, and he will find, he will enjoy, and he will grasp, and he will know what he has obtained. And he who knocks will go further still, for he will understand, and to him will the mysteries of God be opened. He will not merely have the blessing and enjoy it, but he will comprehend it. It's possible to have all three of these at the same time. But most of us never get past the asking stage. And that's okay, but don't stay there. If you want to have the blessing and enjoy it and also comprehend it, you're going to have to go further still beyond the asking. You're going to have to go to the seeking and then to the knocking. No matter what form your prayer takes, I want you to notice this. No matter what form your prayer takes, asking, seeking, knocking, no matter what form it takes, it will succeed. Think about that. I don't care what form it takes, whether you're just asking, or if you're asking and seeking, or if you're asking, seeking, and knocking, it doesn't matter what form it takes, your prayer will succeed. How do we know that? Because he promises it. He's the one telling us. It's not us. If you only ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened. In each case, these will be answered according to your faith, according to Matthew 9:29. Seeking, knocking, and asking are not joined together as one clause, so that only if you ask, seek, and knock will your prayers be answered. They're put separately. So he who asks will have, he who seeks will find, he who knocks will have it opened. It's not when we combine all three that we get the blessing. Although doubtless, if we did combine them, we would get the combined reply. But if we exercise only one of these three forms of prayer, we will still get what our soul desires. You know, our forefathers in the faith, they said something like this: faith asks, hope seeks, and love knocks. Say that with me. Faith asks, hope seeks, love knocks. Say it again. Faith asks, hope seeks, love knocks. Faith asks because it believes that God will give. Hope, having asked, expects and therefore seeks for the blessing. But love comes nearer still. It will not take a denial from God, but it desires to enter into his house and to dine with him. Therefore, love knocks at his door until he opens it. These three modes of prayer suit us at different times and in different stages of distress. As a poor beggar at mercy's door, I ask and I will receive. But suppose I lose my way so that I cannot find him anymore. Well, then I may seek him with the certainty that I will find him. If I'm in the last stage, not merely poor and bewildered, but so defiled by sin that I feel shut out from God, like a leper outside the camp, then I may knock and the door will be opened to me. Surely, everyone can ask. Surely. Even if they don't know what to ask. You know, an infant cries when he's hungry. So can we. Surely we can seek. You know, the woman in the parable in Luke 15, 8 through 9, who lost her money, and she got out her lamp and she began to seek for it, and she went to all lengths and extremes to find that coin. She sought it out. And surely you can knock. You know, when we were children, we came to the neighbor's door, but the doorbell was too high for us to reach. We couldn't quite get to it, right, when you were a little kid. So what did you do? You couldn't reach the doorbell. You knocked on the door. Just the whole door's there. Anybody can knock. You don't have to have scholarship, training, talent, or wit for prayer. I'll say that again. You don't have to have scholarship, training, talent, or wit for prayer. Ask, seek, knock. That is all. That's all that's required. Do you believe this promise? I want you to think about that question. Do you believe the promise? It is Christ who gives it, and no lie ever fell from his lips. Pray on if you have prayed. And if you have never prayed, may God help you begin today. The last one I want to look at this morning is prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. And that prevailing prayer doesn't come from you working up your faith and you got the gumption and you got the Holy Ghost, whatever it is you want to call that. That's not what it is. Prevailing prayer comes about because of his testimony. His testimony. Not ours, his. It's all about him. Jesus testifies to the fact that prayer is heard. He could have said it like this: you may be quite sure that this promise will be fulfilled, not only because I say it, but because it is and always has been so. When someone says to us that the sun will rise in the morning, don't you believe it? The sun always rises in the morning. Of course we believe it. When Jesus tells us an undisputed fact, namely, all through the ages, true asking has been followed by receiving, we should believe it. Remember, Jesus makes this claim, and he is our all in all. We're not making the claim. This comes from the lips of God himself. There has never been a true prayer offered that has not been heard by him. I'll say it again. There has never been a true prayer offered that has not been heard by him. Prayers acceptable to God come by way of the wounds of Christ. Prayers acceptable to God come by way of the wounds of Christ. Therefore, Christ speaks by personal knowledge, and his declaration is that prayer is successful. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Well, common sense tells us that prayers offered with impure motives or from personal self-interest will not receive that which is asked. You know, it's not every silly, idle, or unconsidered request of an unregenerate heart that God will answer. James says that you have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss. It's James 4, 2, and 3. Asking amiss will never obtain an answer. Asking amiss will never obtain an answer. Besides this, there are no other qualifications on Jesus' statement. Think about that. There are no other qualifications on the statement, everyone that asks receives. There are no other qualifications. If your heart is pure and you're right and you're not asking amiss, everyone that asks will receive. That's a promise. We should remember that many times in the scripture, when the ungodly and the wicked have asked of God, they have received. Often in times of distress, they have called on God and been answered, even the ungodly and the wicked. Many times in the scripture. Some of you may ask, does God really answer the prayers of the wicked and the ungodly? Well, I don't say so, but the scripture does. Ahab's prayer, you know, Ahab, his wicked king, ungodly in the scripture. Ahab's prayer was answered. And the Lord said here in 1 Kings 21:29, have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days will I bring disaster upon his house. Ahab was wicked and ungodly, considered by many the worst king Israel ever had, and God heard his prayer. Another one. Also, the Lord heard the prayer of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, who did evil in the sight of the Lord. 2 Kings 13, 1 through 4. When the Israelites were given over to their foes because of their sins, they cried to God for deliverance and they were answered. But the Lord himself testifies about this in Psalm 78, 34 through 36, when he says, they only flattered me with their mouths. And yet God heard their prayer and delivered them. Does this surprise you? Does that surprise you? Does he not hear the young ravens when they cry for food? Do you not think that he will hear man who is formed in his own image? Do you doubt it? Well, remember Nineveh. The prayers offered by the Ninevites, were they spiritual prayers? Has anyone here ever heard of a church of God in Nineveh? Anybody? Any takers? Well, I haven't. And I don't believe that they were visited by converting grace. They were, however, convinced by Jonah that they were in danger from the great Jehovah. And they proclaimed a fast and humbled themselves. God heard their prayer, and Nineveh, for a while, was preserved. Do you think that God gives nothing except to the good? Do you think that God gives nothing except to the good? Have you dwelt at the foot of Sinai and learned to judge according to the law of merit? Are you sitting in judgment based on merit? What were you when you began to pray? Were you good and righteous? Has not God commanded us to do good to evil people? Matthew 5:44. Will God command you to do what he himself will not do? Hasn't God said that he sends his rain on the just and the unjust? And isn't it so? Doesn't he daily bless those that curse him and despitefully use him? Man, this thought, this idea is one of the glories of his grace, that he blesses those who hate him, who despitefully use him. He actually hears their prayers and provides for their needs. Now, if God hears the prayers, even of men who have not sought him in the highest and best way and has given them temporary deliverance in their times of distress, will he not all the more hear you who are his children by adoption? Will he not all the more bless you? Surely we can use this as an argument that God will hear and answer your prayers. But to come to the point with regard to real and spiritual prayers, everyone who asks receives without any limit whatsoever. That may seem like a bold declaration to some of you, but I'm not the one who's saying it. Jesus Christ himself is saying it. And as I said earlier, you could put 10,000 different problems of doctrine. You can find 10,000 different reasons why that's not going to be true. But Jesus stands firm when he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He stands firm, unequivocal, never changing. And his word is true, and let every man be a liar. Amen? There has never been anyone yet who has asked for mercy from God and been denied. There has never yet been anyone who has asked for mercy from God and been denied. The tax collector in Luke 18, 13 through 14, he stood far off with a completely broken heart, so much so that he couldn't even look up. But God looked down on him. God looked down on him. Manasseh, consigned to the dungeon, having been a cruel persecutor of the saints of God, had nothing in him to commend him to God, yet God brought him forth and delivered him. 2 Chronicles 33. By his own sin, Jonah brought himself into the belly of the whale, and he was an irritable servant of God. No doubt, Jonah was very irritable. But out of the belly of hell he cried, and God heard him. Jonah 1, 17 through 2. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Everyone. Everyone. If evidence is needed, if I haven't convinced you by now, if more evidence is needed, then just ask a believer. Ask another believer before you leave here today. Ask them, does God answer prayer? Just ask them. I know the answer you'll get. I don't believe that even among the damned in hell that any would dare say, I sought the Lord and he rejected me. Not even the damned in hell could say that, because it's not true. There will not be found at the last day of account one single soul who will say, I knocked at mercy's door, but God refused to open it. There's not one that's going to be able to say that in that day. Listen to me. Are you in rags today? Ask. Are you polluted with sin? Seek. Do you feel as if you have been shut out from God? Knock. Some of you may say, I have been crying to God for such a long time to save me and deliver me. I have sought and asked and knocked, and yet I still do not know God. There may be some sitting here today that have been searching and struggling for years. And today is the day of your salvation. If you will but confess your sin, repent of it, turn to Jesus with a believing heart, and then don't stand on how you feel, but stand on what the Bible says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what it says. Some of you will say, I've been praying for a loved one to come to Jesus, to get over that addiction, to have more love in their heart. I've been praying for that loved one for many years, and nothing, silence. Continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. Your prayer will not go unanswered. That's a bold statement, but I believe it. Your prayer will not go unanswered. You may not see it in this life, but it'll happen. Because God himself is all in all. And if it does not, then God had another purpose. But he will answer your prayer. I promise you, that's what he does. God is a prayer answering God. Have you trusted God today? Have you trusted him with your life? Have you trusted him with your job, with your business, with your family? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you? Do you believe that when you utter your prayers before him, that he hears and that he answers? Do you believe that? If you want to be saved today, then in just a moment when we pray, I want you to come forward. You can speak to one of our counselors, you can speak to me, and we'll tell you about Jesus and his wonderful love for you. Please stand as we pray. And you come as God leads. Jesus, we thank you. We love you and we praise you. God, send your spirit upon this place that those who don't know you may know you today. God, I pray for those who are stuck in the weeds in their faith. God, their prayers feel like to them that they're just hitting the ceiling and bouncing off. God, I pray today that they would humble themselves before your throne and believe in the promises of God. Believe what God says. Don't believe what our hearts tell us, O Lord, but we believe you. We trust in you. You are the Lord our God. There is no other. Look to me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For there is no God besides me, says Isaiah. If you feel God tugging at your heart, you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.